Preston, did you hear? Allie just passed away. It was fall of 2017. It was my first job as a pastor. I was a college pastor at the University of Alabama. And the very first trip that I took our students on was a fall retreat. So there's about three or four other college ministries from around the state. We came together, we had worship, teaching, played some games. So that Saturday, we're playing soccer, and a guy from another college kicks a soccer ball, and it just takes a weird bounce, and it hits a girl in our college ministry in the head. Her name was Allie. Allie was a blonde-haired freshman from California. She was in a sorority. She was part of our college ministry. She loved Jesus. And I've seen a lot of people get hit in the head with a soccer ball, so on one hand, I was like, oh man, wow, that really hit her hard. But then at the same time, I was, you know, like, okay, she's getting up, she's fine, she went about the rest of the day okay. Even the next day on Sunday, she went home and went back to campus, and everything seemed normal. Well, about 3 days later, I get a phone call. Preston, Allie Brody is in the hospital. She's in a coma. Can you get some students together and come pray in the hospital? So I'm freaking out at this point. I'm 24. It's my first job. It's literally my first trip. And so I get on the phone. I grab the students, text them, call them, say, hey, let's go to the hospital. And about 30 or 40 of us were in the hospital just praying. And we prayed bold prayers. We said, God, would you heal Allie? Would you bring her out of the coma? We prayed fervently. I mean, we prayed passionately on our knees with passion in our voice. I mean, we really wanted God to heal her. And we believed in faith. We believed that God had all the ability to heal her, that he was the great physician and he could do whatever he wants. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed. About 3 weeks went by. Allie was still in a coma. I got the phone call. Preston, did you hear? Allie just passed away. The doctors found that she had a brain condition that she didn't actually know about, that she was born with. And the combination of that existing condition with the trauma of the soccer ball led to brain bleeding and ultimately led to her death. A few days later, I was standing in front of 100 or so students on the quad, on the grass at the University of Alabama. Here's a picture from that night. And I'm about to get up and speak to these students who are mourning and in grief and pain. And I'm going to deliver a message of hope about Jesus. And yet I couldn't help but thinking, does prayer really make a difference? Does prayer actually change things? Like, is there some impact that comes as a result to listening and talking to God? Because we prayed for Allie. I mean, we prayed bold prayers. We prayed fervently. We prayed believing that God could heal her. And yet Allie still passed away. And I'm feeling at that moment confused, numb, disappointed. And if I was to guess, pretty much everybody in this room, pretty much everybody watching online, we have all had moments just like that. You might actually be in a moment like that right now. Maybe you were praying that God would heal a loved one, and yet they still passed. Maybe you prayed that God would reconcile and restore your marriage, and yet your spouse still wanted the divorce. Maybe you prayed that God would provide for your family, and yet you're still unemployed right now. I think all of us at some point or another, whether it's just a fleeting thought or whether it's a deep, dark night of the soul, I think we all wonder, does prayer make a difference? Like, we really want to know, is prayer just a placebo effect that gives us some health benefits? Is prayer just a religious ritual that gives me a sense of control when everything else is out of my control? Or is prayer really a conversation between me and the living God of the universe in which he listens and he responds? Does prayer make a difference? And since that night, God has continued over and over and over again in a variety of ways through his word, through other people, through circumstances to teach me about prayer. and to give me convictions about prayer and to transform my prayer life. I pray differently now. And I know we're coming in the room in different places this morning. Some of you, man, you're prayer warriors. We've got people during the services right now that'll be in the back praying for you guys in the service. I mean, some of you are prayer warriors, and some of you, you might really struggle to pray. You might not feel comfortable or confident praying. And what I want to promise you is this, is that if you will believe what God says about your prayers, and then you'll put it into action, God will transform you and your prayer life. He will. And so today, I want to let God speak to us. I want God to teach us. So we're going to open up the Word of God to the book of James. If you got a Bible, open with me to the book of James. If you're watching online, welcome. So glad you're here. There's hundreds of people all over the world watching right now. So welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're not a follower of Jesus today and maybe a friend or family member invited you here, welcome. This is the kind of church where you can come here. You can hear about Jesus. You can build relationships. And we want to help you start and grow in a relationship with Jesus. And let me also say, I love being here with you guys. I love being at the Chantilly campus. It's good to be here. It is a joy to get to be here and to teach the Bible to you. And it is a privilege to me. So really excited to be here today. So before we zoom in on James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, let's zoom out and get a little context of what are we about to read. So James is a letter written by a guy named James, and he was the half-brother of Jesus. It was written roughly in AD 49. And James wrote this letter to a group of Christians. They were Jewish people who had become believers that Jesus was the Messiah, and so they were disciples of Jesus. And they actually had been a part of the church in Jerusalem, the very first church, and yet they experienced persecution, so they had to flee to other areas. And so James is writing to these Jewish Christians who are going through persecution, and he's trying to help them trust and follow Jesus. He's trying to help them know what that looks like. And so just imagine, if you're familiar with the Bible, imagine the wisdom literature of Proverbs combined with the Sermon on the Mount and the wisdom of Jesus. Like, that's what we're reading. That's what James was all about here. So he talked about all kinds of sorts of stuff about following Jesus, like enduring through trials, about not showing favoritism in the church, and about having a living and active faith, not just assenting to the right beliefs. And so now he comes to the point in his letter where he talks about prayer. So we're going to pick it up in James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. This is the Word of God. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. So James starts by talking to this first group of people and this group of persecuted Christians. Says, guys, you're going through hardship. You're going through difficulties. Here's what you need to do. Pray. And some of you right now, today, that's where you're at. And what God's inviting you to do is to pray. So he starts there. That's the first group of people. Then he keeps going to the second group in verse 13. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. So in other words, some of you are going through difficult, difficult things and you should pray. Then James said, but some of you, there's joy. You're cheerful. You're happy in God. Things are going well for you in life. You're excited. And what should you do? You should pray. Because think about it. Singing is just a form of praying. We're having a conversation with God in which we're ascribing his worth and value to him and responding to the things that he's done. So he says, look, if you're going through hard things, pray. If you're going through good things, pray. And then he talks to a third and final group in verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. James said, if you're going through hard things, pray. If you're going through good times, pray. Songs of praise. And if you're sick, pray. Get the elders, get the leaders of the church to come and pray over you and anoint you with oil, showing that you're set apart for God's purposes and special ability to heal. And he also said that you should confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you could be healed. So I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you're going through suffering. I don't know if you're feeling cheerful. I don't know if you're sick. But whatever you're going through, I think the point is, in everything that we're going through, James is saying, Pray. That's what we need to do. But I can't help but wonder, when that group of persecuted Jewish Christians got this letter and read it, did the thought cross any of their minds? Pray? Pray? You want us to pray? James, you know that we've been praying, and yet we still got thrown in jail. We've been praying, and our property got taken from us. We've been praying, and our families disowned us for following Jesus. Pray? Does prayer really make a difference? So they would have had some of the same struggles and doubts and questions that you and I do. And that's why James, inspired by the Spirit of God, said this in verse 16. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So let's just look at each phrase of this statement. This is incredible. The prayer, in other words, just the conversation, the listening and the talking, right? The prayer of who? Of a righteous person. So it didn't say the prayer of a perfect person. He didn't also say the prayer of a wicked person. He said the prayer of a righteous person, meaning someone who is right with God. They are in right standing. They're in a right relationship with God. The prayer of a righteous person is what? Is very powerful in its effect. So what James told that group of persecuted Christians is, guys, whatever you're going through, pray, pray, pray. Why? Because the prayers of a righteous person, such as yourselves, is very powerful in its effect. In other words, when you pray, your prayers are capable of bringing about massive change. When you pray, your prayers can accomplish great things. When you pray, it makes a difference. That's what he's saying. When you pray, God does stuff. Because he's the most powerful being in the universe. And if you're in a right relationship with him and you're talking to him and he listens and he responds, powerful things take place. Powerful things happen. Now, some of you, you might be hearing this and you think, okay, well, Preston, I believe what God says, that the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. But I'm not a righteous person. And here's what I would say. I would say that you're right. You're not a righteous person on your own. And on my own, I'm not a righteous person. And everybody in the room, everybody online, there's not a single person who on their own is a righteous person. So in other words, well, this truth doesn't apply to anybody. We might as well pack it up and go home. Prayer doesn't make any difference. Except that God sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth. And Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. So what, Preston? That's Jesus. That's not me. I'm still a broken, sinful, messed up person. What's that got to do with me? Here's what it has to do with you. If you're a follower of Jesus, you probably know this already. But at the cross, after Jesus lived a perfect life and died in our place at the cross, a beautiful exchange took place in which Jesus, the perfect righteous one, took your sin and my sin upon himself. And Jesus, the perfect righteous one, gave you his own righteousness. See, when God sees you, he doesn't see your past. He doesn't see your brokenness. He doesn't see the failure. He sees that you've been clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus himself. So yes, you are righteous. If you trust and follow Jesus, you are a righteous person. And according to God, if you believe what God says about you and about your prayers, then here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to believe. That your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful. See, you don't have to be a missionary, a minister, or a martyr to have powerful prayers. Any man, woman, or child who's in a relationship with God through Jesus, your prayers are powerful. See, I think we talk about the power of prayer sometimes. And we talk about it as this general abstract truth. But what James was telling these Christians and what God is telling you today is this. It's not just that there's power in prayer. There's power in your prayers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your prayers make a difference? That your prayers change people's hearts. That your prayers bless families. That your prayers break strongholds. That your prayers shape nations. Do you believe that? Are you gripped by that truth? Is it a deep conviction that affects the way that you pray and the way that you live? If you believe that, and I know this is the early crowd, but guys, I have much faith in you. So I'm not doing this to be cute or to be rah-rah. I'm doing it because I know that it's actually going to reinforce it in your heart. If you believe that your prayers have power, would you just say it out loud right now? My prayers have power. Turn to somebody next to you and say, your prayers have power. So James said, guys, it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, pray. If you're sick, pray, 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 pray. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effect. Just look at Elijah, verse 17. Elijah was a human being, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. So James says there's power in prayer. Just look at Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. In other words, he was someone that God spoke a message to, and then he was supposed to communicate that message to people. And so one day, God sent Elijah to King Ahab, who was a wicked king of Israel in the northern part of the kingdom. And essentially, Elijah told him, look, you think that Baal, this other false god, gives you guys rain? You've turned away from the one true living God to worship Baal? Well, guess what? Until I speak the word, you ain't gonna get no rain. And for 3.5 years, think about that. Think about the weathermen's jobs during that time, 3.5 years. I mean, they were flawless. They got it right every single time. No rain for 3.5 years. And then one day, Elijah, he got down on his knees and he put his head between his legs and he prayed earnestly, not just one time that it would rain, not 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. He prayed 7 times that God would make it rain. And finally, his servant went out and off in the distance, he said that he saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, that big. And Elijah told the servant, go and tell King Ahab that the Lord God of Israel is about to make it rain. And it did. James said, the prayer of a righteous person are powerful in their effect. Just look at Elijah to see that. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, I believe that Elijah's prayers were powerful. He's an Old Testament prophet. I'm no prophet. I'm no Elijah. But did you notice what James said? He said, Elijah was a man just like us. He was a human being. He was a normal person just like you and me. What's his point? Elijah isn't the exception. Elijah's the norm. Now, you might not pray and you cause drought for 3.5 years and then pray and cause rain to come. But the point is, in the same way that Elijah's prayers had powerful effects, your prayers can do the same. What's true of Elijah is true of you. He's not the exception. He's the norm. And some of you might be thinking, well, Preston, I do believe that my prayers are powerful, but in a different way. I don't believe in, you know, that my prayers cause impact out there to happen. I believe my prayers are powerful in me. See, prayer doesn't change things. Prayer just changes me. You ever heard somebody say that? That sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Not biblical, though. Here's the reality. Could you imagine if someone would have told Elijah that? Hey, man, don't pray about the rain. Don't pray about the drought. Just prayer just changes you. It's just to give you peace of mind. It's just to warm your heart up. Elijah said, no, prayer is a conversation with the living God, the most powerful being in the universe. And if something's going to accomplish his will and give him glory, I'm going to pray about it. And God can make it happen. He believed that. He believed that his prayers had the power to affect change. And so you've got to decide, do you actually believe what God says about your prayers? Do you really believe that your prayers have the potential to have an Elijah kind of effect, an Elijah kind of impact in the lives of people? And if you believe that, then we got to put it into practice. That's where the rubber meets the road. Do we actually respond? And so here's what we got to do. It's a pretty complicated message today. You ready? Pray. Pray. Take notes. If you're taking notes, make sure you don't forget that. Pray. So just talk to God. Listen to God. Have an ongoing back and forth with the God of the universe about anything and everything that's going on in your life. And you might be thinking, well, Preston, I don't really know how to pray. I've never prayed much. Who can I pray with? Well, you can pray by yourself. You can pray with your spouse or kids. You can pray with your life group. You can pray here as a whole church. Preston, what could I pray about? What kind of things could I pray about? Well, you could do listening prayer, and you just sit down and you ask God a question. God, who do you want me to pray for today? And you just listen. And maybe God will bring someone's name or face to your mind. Maybe a scripture will come to your heart. The Holy Spirit will put something on your heart. You can just take the Bible and just pray through passages of scripture. You could pray through the Lord's Prayer. You could pray through the armor of God. You just pray scripture. There's all kinds. You could make a list of all the people you know and all the different things that they got going on in their life, and you could pray for those people by name. What can you pray about? You can pray about nearly anything. You might be wondering, well, when could I pray? Well, you can pray in the morning, you can pray in the afternoon, you can pray in the evening, you can pray at any time you want. And you might be wondering, well, where could I pray? You could pray in your closet. You could pray in your car. You could pray walking the neighborhood. You could pray at church. You could pray in your life. It doesn't matter. You can pray anywhere and any place and any time that you want, right? Anywhere. So just pray, 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 pray. Believe that your prayers are powerful and pray. Wendy did. So Wendy, here's a picture of Wendy and her husband, Dion. Wendy's a new lifer at the Linton Hall campus. And in April of 2022, Wendy put her faith in Jesus and started the journey with him. And Wendy was so fired up, she was excited. She just had one problem. She wanted everybody in her family to know the love of God, and yet the person she loved most was not yet a Christian, Dion. Dion didn't grow up in church. Dion had questions about the church, had questions about Jesus, and so Wendy just started to pray. As soon as she got saved, as soon as she came to faith and was baptized, she began to pray for Dion. Well, fast forward about 10 months later, and Dion still wasn't a Christian. And I guarantee you there was places along the way where Wendy had to wonder, does prayer really make a difference? Is this doing anything? Is all the time and effort I'm putting into praying, does it really matter? And so one day Wendy came to church at New Life and she heard, hey, we're going to spend 6 weeks praying and fasting as a church. And she thought, okay, I'm going to crank up the intensity. I'm going to crank up the frequency. I'm going to actually get other people involved in praying that my husband would trust and follow Jesus. So she increased her time in prayer. She asked her life group to start to pray specifically for Dion's salvation. She got online and looked at videos and found resources of what scriptures to pray for unbelieving husbands. I mean, she just began to pray like crazy. Well, about 5 weeks into the 6 week prayer and fasting time, nothing happened. Dion wasn't any more interested. Nothing changed. And I guarantee you there came a moment where she thought, I've been praying, I've been fasting. Is my prayer making any difference? Because I don't see any impact. And one day, Wendy and Dion asked me and my wife Meg to go get dinner. So we go get dinner, we eat some Chinese food, noodles, lo mein, we're telling stories, we're having a good time. And Dion, he's a little more quiet, a little more reserved kind of guy, really strong, muscular guy, could beat me up very easily. But he just kind of like very nonchalant, just kind of casually just was like, so I've been thinking about Jesus, and I think I'm ready to follow him. Could I get baptized on Easter? And I said, absolutely not. No, you cannot do that. How could you make such a holy day all about you? No, I was like, yes, are you, can you? Absolutely, let's baptize you, praise God. I looked over at Wendy, I said, how long have you known? And she said, just now. Dion hadn't even told his wife. And that moment of breakthrough when Wendy got to witness her husband, Dion, lower down into the water and raised up, the old Dion gone, the new Dion raised to walk in a new life. Wendy stepped into that moment where Elijah saw the cloud the size of a man's hand. She saw the impact. She saw the difference that her prayers made in the life of somebody that she loved. And so now we know what to do. We got to do it. And I want to give us an opportunity to do that. So we're going to have a time of prayer to close out. So here's what I want to do. We're going to have three different times to pray. And in between our times of prayer, we're just going to even sing some praises as well. Brennan's going to lead us in a song as well. So I'm just going to guide us through it. I'll tell you each of the three steps along the way. And I'll wrap us up with a prayer and we'll take communion. All right. So here's the first thing. Get comfortable. However you need to sit, adjust, get comfy. You can close your eyes if you want. And this first type of prayer is just going to be in the quietness of your own heart. And so you can do whatever you want, but I just want to offer, consider asking God, God, who is the one person? Who is the one person that I should pray for their salvation? Who's the person that your heart breaks for? The person you'd throw a party for if they became a Christian? Like, who does your heart burdened by their lostness? Just ask God, God, who's that one person? And then just take some time to yourself and pray for that person's salvation. Go ahead and pray.
Let's just keep praying now. We thank God for the life that He's given us. With there were walls between us, and by the cross He came and broke them down. Even broke them down. And there were chains around us, and by longer bound, you called me out of pain. You called me into light. You called my name, and my heart came alive. 'Cause your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens me.
We're going to move on to the second type of prayer. If you would you stand with me? Some of you I know are super introverted. If you don't want to pray with other people, that's okay. Just pray on your own. But I also want to push you to stretch yourself. That what you're going to pray is going to be helpful and build your confidence. It's also going to encourage others that you pray with. So I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. So don't pray a sermon, but pray, you know, fairly quick. So go ahead and either on your own or get with some people right now. Just start looking around. Grab a spouse, grab a friend, grab some people in your life group. And you can spread out around the room if you want. Go ahead, right now, start to move. Get into your spot, go. And as you're getting your people, just take some time and pray that God would awaken your family members, your coworkers, your neighbors. Just pray whatever you want, but just pray considering that, God, would you awaken Northern Virginia? Would you awaken the people in my spheres of influence? Go ahead and begin to pray. Thank you.
let's keep praying. There's power as we pray together. So I'm going to sing. Do not feel the need to sing with us. You just keep praying together. We pray. We praise God for the darkness shaking because of what he's done through Jesus.
And feel the darkness shaking and all the dead coming back to life. Going back to life. Hear the song awaken and darkness singing, we revive, 'cause you're alive. You called me out of grave, you called me into the light, you called my name and my heart came alive, 'cause your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Your love awakens, awakens, awakens me.
If you're still praying, just go ahead and wrap up your prayer. We're going to move on to our third and final prayer. So here's what I need you guys to do. If you would, just go ahead and spread out even more. Kind of get more space away from other people. So begin to walk right now. Just get more space. Spread out. So one of the things that, whether it's from the Bible or just through experience and learning from others that God has taught me over the past years I'm trying to grow in, is to pray fervently, to pray with passion. And I love that Elijah did exactly that. Elijah, when he prayed for rain, didn't just say, let me just sit here in quietness. No, he didn't do that, did he? He got on his knees. He put his head between his legs, the Bible says. And he prayed over and over and over. In fact, in some of the old King James translation, it actually says, the fervent prayers of the righteous are powerful. And so one of the things that I want to invite us to do this morning is to actually pray fervently. Not just read the Bible and read about other people's praying fervently, but to do it. So we did this in our staff meeting a few weeks ago, and it actually went really well, but it's going to require that you actually do it. So I'm asking you guys to actually do this. I know it's not normal. We're not going to do this every Sunday, so if you don't like it, that's okay. You can email me at brettA@newlife.church. I'm kidding. Don't email. Don't email. I'm just kidding. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're praying that God would awaken Northern Virginia, right? Praying that God would awaken us as a church, awaken you, that he would bring revival that would sweep across all 3.2 million people in our region. And so anything that's on your heart, it could be anything and everything. Just pray with passion. So if you want right now, you can lift your hands. If you want, you can go down to your knees. If you want, I don't care what you do, but just get in a posture just like Elijah, where you're saying, God, I'm about to do business with you. I'm going to start to pray, and I'm going to invite you just to pray. We're all going to pray out loud at the same time. We call it a concert of prayer. Everyone's lifting their voice up. We're going to do that as long as you guys keep going. And then once I feel like it's dying down, then I will wrap us up with a prayer. Everybody good? We good? All right, here we go. So, God, would you awaken Northern Virginia for your glory, God. Pour out the Holy Spirit on us as New Life Christian Church, Lord. We love you, God. Lord, would you break the strongholds of the enemy, God. Spread the gospel. Raise up leaders, Lord. Plant churches, God.
pray together. Father, we love you. Lord, your love awakens us. God, help us to fear you and be in awe of you and your majesty and your goodness. Lord, I pray that we would believe what your word says, that our prayers are very powerful in their effect, that they make a difference. And God, I pray that that would change the way that we pray, that you would transform our prayer lives, that we would pray, pray, pray. God, move in our day and our time and show yourself strong. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.